Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, December 20th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's the gift-giving season. And if you're like me, you still have a couple days before you have to start. Cookbooks, always a great idea for the chef on your list. According to our guests today, there are over 500,000 new cookbooks released every year. To tell you about the best of them, we welcome food writer Pam Abrams and chef Annette Tomei. They wrote a great article in the Times Union at the end of November detailing their top cookbook picks for 2024. We'll talk to them about what goes into a great cookbook, explore some of their new favorites. What's your favorite all-time cookbook? Share it with us, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. Pam and Annette, and your calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We talk cookbooks on this edition of Food Friday with Pam Abrams and chef Annette Tomei. Pam is a food writer, producer of culinary events, including the Culinary Arts at SPAC and Cookbook Club, which is led by Annette Tomei at Franklin Square Market in Saratoga Springs. Annette is a chef, food and drinks educator, and culinary travel specialist based in Kingston. She teaches at the CIA. Pam and Annette wrote a terrific piece about the best cookbooks of 2024 for the Times Union. Well, about Thanksgiving time, end of November. We'll explore some of their new favorites and some all-time classics. What is your favorite cookbook of all time? Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Pam Abrams, Annette Tomei, welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to be here. Well, thank you.
You know, I'm glad you made it in the snow. Annette, I'm glad you took an alternate route with the plane coming down by exit 23 on the thruway. Otherwise, you would not be here right now.
I got lucky.
Yeah. Well, and the roads are okay at this time?
Yeah, they were fine.
Okay.
A little blustery, but...
You guys wrote a great book. I mean, a great article on cookbooks. And it blew my mind. There are 500,000 cookbook releases every year? That can't be true, Pam.
Well, it is true, and there are a lot of bad cookbooks. I mean, what we did and what some of the great bookstores do, especially those that are devoted to food and drink, is try to narrow it down. At least, you know, come up with a list that can help you as a home cook try to wade through that. It's a lot of cookbooks.
You know, my wife and I were talking about, first of all, full disclosure, and many of our listeners know, I'm not even allowed in our kitchen. Okay, that's how bad I am. But my wife and I were talking about what goes into a good cookbook. And, you know, first thing she said is it's got to be concise. And the second thing she said, pictures are really handy. Because if there are no pictures, it's tough for her to go through the whole thing. Annette, what makes a perfect cookbook for you?
I do enjoy the pictures, so I'm grateful for the evolution that has happened in the cookbook publishing industry to bring them out. I want to be captivated and taken on a journey of some sort through my cookbooks. I don't necessarily, as a professional chef, use them for the recipes. I use them for inspiration. And I love to read my cookbooks.
You know, that's a very interesting point. And also, I like the tactile aspect of an actual book. One of the things we talked about last night was, she says, I need a recipe. I go online, I find seven different recipes and pick the one that has the most likes. Pam, are cookbooks becoming passé?
I don't think so. I think cookbooks are one of the areas of publishing that's just been super strong. I mean, 500,000 books, you know, it's
remarkable. Are there
that
many trees in the world?
So I think people still really like cookbooks, physical handheld cookbooks as a companion to online recipes. At least that's how I cook, and most people that I know do as well. It's inspirational, as Annette says, to go through one whole cookbook devoted to a particular subject or to somebody's thought process or a country or a region. But if I'm looking just for a recipe for Parmesan, which I am for Christmas, I'll go to the internet and go directly to the recipe that I'm looking for.
Well, you know, you mentioned when I said there were 500,000 cookbooks a year, you said there are a lot of bad cookbooks. Before we talk about what goes into the best cookbook, and by the way, feel free to chime in at home if you want to talk about your favorite, 800-348-2551. It doesn't have to be a new one. If it's a favorite of yours, call us, or you can email WAMC. I guess I ought to give you that. voxpop@wamc.org. That's our email address. All right, both of you, what goes into a lousy cookbook?
Terrible design. So if the margins are too small and you have to read up, you have to work to read the recipe, and it's not quickly accessible to you, if you think about a cookbook and looking at a recipe, you're doing two things at once. You're reading and you're cooking. So it's got to be really easy to follow. And we threw out, Annette and I, in our initial go through, many cookbooks that were just too difficult to look at. I remember small margins was one of the things that really drove us crazy. What else is a bad cookbook to you?
I think the color really says a lot to me. I am one of those people who believes that color can bring on a different mood, and food has specific colors that belong with it. And blue and purple are not the colors.
Really?
That,
this I didn't know.
That scream, I want to cook.
What are the good colors?
Cream color, like vanilla ice cream kind of color, custard.
Why?
Because it makes you feel cozy and comfortable and just a little bit hungry.
So, yeah, I mean, anything that jumps off the page and makes you start salivating, that's the sign of a good cookbook. You want the pictures and the names of the recipes and the concepts to really make you want to just put your apron on as fast as possible.
Yeah. Okay. You went through, obviously, the two of you didn't go through 500,000 books for this great article you did in the Times Union. How many books did you go through?
100, maybe 150 we started with.
I had a jump start because I was already looking at the books for Cookbook Club, and so I probably looked at about 200 or 300 easily.
Wow, that's a lot. And then you whittled it down to maybe the final, how many?
I think we got down between our main list and our honorable mentions, we got it to 25.
Well, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, tell me about the Cookbook Club before we get into phones and everything else.
So Cookbook Club at the Franklin Square Market is this wonderful program where I get to actually spend time live with the guests. I have been a culinary instructor for over 20 years, and I love having the opportunity to spend time with food enthusiasts, teaching them different cooking techniques and different tips and tricks, and using the cookbooks as the springboard for it.
So you'll actually cook?
I actually cook. They have hands-on components.
Doesn't that mess up the cookbooks?
There's no stove for them.
You got to get dirty cookbooks with that.
Dirty cookbooks are good cookbooks.
Really?
Yes, they're very well. Means they're well loved and well used. I'll just back up for 1 minute and say that I discovered Annette through her online cookbook club that she does for the Kitchen Arts and Letters bookstore in New York City. And during COVID, Annette started a cookbook for all club for all of us who were at home, desperate for things to do. And her online cookbook club really took root and took hold. And after COVID, people didn't want to give it up. And it was partly because she attracted people from all over the country to participate. And when I found out that I live in Saratoga Springs, that I found out Annette just lived down the road in Kingston, I gave her a call and we explored the idea of her coming up to Saratoga to do the cookbook club in a live version at Franklin Square Market there. So that's how it started.
So cool. We're joined today by Pam Abrams and Annette Tomei. We're talking about cookbooks, their picks for the year, and your all-time favorites, 800-348-2551 or voxpop@wamc.org, and we'll get to the phones and the emails right after a break. But we have a few minutes. So let's just talk about your top five here for the year. Oh, you have a stack?
I have a stack.
All right. And not one naughty color in the bunch.
Well, there's one naughty color on the outside, but it is so good on the inside that I had to
wave that.
This is called Salty Cheesy Herby Crispy Snackable Bakes by Jesse Sheehan.
Ooh.
And I'm not even much of a baker. This book, every single page has me wanting to run for the kitchen.
Have you made anything?
I've made a handful of things, but definitely haven't scratched the surface yet. Everything is so easy, and each picture makes you want to taste it. And the instructions are friendly and engaging. Her voice comes through. Jessie's got this incredible personality that just pours out through the pages. And so,
okay, so this is about snacking. I'm all in on this.
And it's snacking and baking, but not sweet things.
That's
so
fine.
That's even better, because some people don't want the sweet. I like the sweet personally, but some people don't want it.
Boy, I've had so many sweets today. It has been insane. There have been cookies out there, and you brought more. I mean, yes. Good heavens. I don't know. All right, Pam, give me one or two of your favorites here. We got a couple of minutes.
I like Yotam Ottolenghi's new book called Comfort. He's a very popular cookbook author and chef. His new book is all about comfort food, but from a very global perspective, and he really defines comfort food as things that you're nostalgic for.
Yeah.
And it's really a nice way to put it. Everything I've cooked from this book has been delicious. Speaking of savory snackable bakes, I made a leek and feta cheese rúcula from that book that is absolutely to die for.
Did you bring any?
I wish. I didn't. And I made a Dutch baby. Do you know what a Dutch baby is? It's like a big puffed pancake.
Oh, my gosh. Barb, our screener, just clapped, so she knows.
And he's got a Dutch baby recipe in there that has roasted tomatoes on the top. It's beautiful. It's easy to make. I made it twice, and it's also a big hit. So I'm a fan of Ottolenghi in general, and I'm a particular fan of his new book.
All right, we'll get into more of your favorites as we roll along here. The number is 800-348-2551. Before we go to break, is brevity something you're looking for in a recipe? In other words, if it's over two or three pages, have we gone too far?
That's been a big discussion for my cookbook club group. I don't mind if it goes a little longer, as long as it's taking me someplace. I would rather have a few extra words to get clarity, but also it's kind of nice to have just one page and not be turning pages while you're trying to cook.
Works
that
for
can
me.
Be a problem.
All right, Annette, I agree with you. Pam, what do you think?
I would prefer brevity, but whether it's a long or short recipe, I've really learned that the most important thing is to read a recipe all the way through before you start.
Oh,
and
I've
so,
never done that once, and, but I've never really been
allowed
to
That's why you're
cook.
Not allowed in the kitchen.
Yeah,
right.
It's true.
So many people don't, and it's really easy to just start out and then get to a point where you've got to let something chill for 3 hours before you go on.
Right.
And it ruins your day.
Okay, let's take a break. 800-348-2551 or voxpop@wamc.org. The best cookbooks of 2024 and your all-time faves coming up with Pam Abrams and Annette Tomei. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551. Yeah, a day or two, I'll be ready to start my Christmas shopping. And so now I'm getting ideas. You know, you got to wait until the 23rd, right? Do either of you shop early?
Not really.
No? Well, let's go to our phone lines here. We're talking about the best cookbooks of the year at all time with Pam Abrams and Annette Tomei, the Cookbook Club. By the way, before we get rolling here, how do people find out about this Cookbook Club?
For the Kitchen Arts and Letters Cookbook Club, which is my online-based cookbook club, the information is on kitchenartsandletters.com. And you can also follow...
It's a long URL.
It is a very long URL.
Kitchenartsandletters.com.
Yes.
Okay. And then the Cookbook Club led by you at Franklin Square Market. Pam, how do we find out about that?
FranklinSquareMarket.com.
Okie doke. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Abigail in Kingston. Hello, Abigail.
Hello. How are you? You sound wonderful. Anyway, brevity is the soul of wit also. And that was from Hamlet. Polonius, who was the major talker in the play, said that. That's a quote from Hamlet.
Right.
My old cookbook here, because I'm an altacaca, and you know what an altacaca is?
Can you say it on the radio?
An altacaca is an old fart. Yes, you can say it on the radio.
All right,
old fart, and that's what I am.
Okay.
And so my cookbook is Joy of Cooking, the oldest publication, 1931 copyrighted. I don't have that one, but I have one from 1962, and that's by Marion Rome Bauer Becker. And it is a beautiful, beautiful book, an old book. And I hope I'm not taking away any business from anyone. And I also want to give a plug to my daughter and her husband who run the Flying Fish Cafe in Wellfleet, Massachusetts.
Cool.
On Cape Cod. Ha ha. Okay, thank you, Ray. You're terrific.
Thanks.
I love you. And stay well and... health is your wealth, and keep on trekking.
Happy thanks holidays, so and thanks a lot, Abigail. And way to work that plug in for your kids' restaurant. Very smooth here on public radio when they do that. The number is 800-348-2551. Anybody like the joy of cooking?
I have actually never cooked from the joy of cooking.
Really?
I respect it, and I think it's an important part of our culinary history, but...
Okay. What about you, Pam?
I grew up with it. It was certainly the book that my mom used and my aunt and probably my grandmother's. It was the first cookbook I can remember. That and Craig Claiborne's New York Times cookbook were the cookbooks, you know, that were the staples of my childhood home. I know that people still love the joy of cooking, and it's not a book that I would cook from today, but like Annette said, total respect.
Yeah. What about the James Beard cookbook?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's all right, too. Have you tried the Arby's cookbook? Very good. Very good. It's one of my favorites. Joan in Schenectady. Joan, you're on.
Hey, thank you, Ray. And thank you, ladies. I'm giving a shout out to my family's heirloom copy of Betty Crocker.
Aha.
I think most of us could probably pull the page for the chocolate brownies recipe.
Okay.
And we actually did have to chat about who would become the new custodian of our Betty Crocker cookbook. It was simple and always worked.
Right.
Joan, it's got to be you. You have to be the person to be the custodian of that. All right, so...
No. A niece of mine... and her mother has the china set from my parents.
You know they're coming. China sets. I talked to an antique dealer. I talked to Mark Lawson on the show, and apparently, you know, china, it's just nobody uses it anymore. So the value has gone down, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, the value's only gone up for us. That's all I can say.
I love it, Joan. Happy holidays. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right. So the Betty Crocker cookbook. Annette, you were a little ambivalent about the joy of cooking. What about Betty Crocker?
Now, the Betty Crocker cookbook is what I grew up on.
Really?
That was the cookbook that my grandmother, in fact, it was the only cookbook my grandmother had in her kitchen. It was the old 1950s edition of the... the three-ring binder that you could open up the pages. And I grew up, actually, that's probably one of the things that inspired me to cook. I would love to go through and look at all the pictures and pick out what I wanted from the different pictures, especially the cookie and candy section.
Okay. Yeah. Pam, what do you say?
I'm wondering if you had the Betty Crocker and we had the Joy of Cooking, was there a rivalry?
I thought growing up that you either came from a home that the Joy of Cooking was the center of the kitchen, or you were a Betty Crocker family. And
I
still see that in life today, that there are Betty Crocker people and there are Joy of Cooking people.
So you're in different camps.
Yes.
So why don't we have three falls right now and see who wins? The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Cookbooks of the Year for 2024. And your favorites of all time here, Pam Abrams, who is a food writer and producer of culinary events, including Culinary Arts at SPAC, and the Cookbook Club, which is led by our other guest, Annette Tomei, who is a chef, food and drinks educator, culinary travel specialist. Love to talk to you about that sometime. That sounds like a fun show.
That's a fun one.
The number here is 800-348-2551. All right, we have a ton of emails, voxpop@wamc.org. Let's grab a couple more calls in the meantime, and then we'll do a segment on the emails. I tell you, this book over here, Pam, it's not in the color code as strictly written by Annette.
I know. Classic German Cooking by Louisa Weiss. It does have a blue cover, but as you say, it's also got a nice silver kind of copper pot that's beautifully embossed. So it's a very handsome cover, don't you think?
It is.
And I think especially when cookbooks make such great presents that you're often giving them. So you want to look for something a little special about it, especially if you're buying a book for somebody else. This Classic German Cooking is a beautiful cookbook. It's got recipes for traditional favorites. So everything from semi-knödel to sauerbraten. I made a vanilla sauce that went over baked apples with almonds inside.
Did you bring any?
Oh, I wish.
Oh, gosh.
This author was very approachable. She's an expat living in Berlin. So she's got an American sensibility, making her very relatable, at least for me. But she's fully engaged in her Berlin life. She married a German. She's got kids. She's living the German life. And she's a wonderful writer. And she kind of brings a modern twist to very classic German recipes. I personally am a potato lover. There were something like 30 different indexed potato recipes here.
That'll keep the cost down too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, my grandmother was from, well, she was born on a boat in 1899 outside of Brooklyn. But her folks my grandmother didn't even speak English for the first 15 years of her life. She cooked a lot of German food. And one of the things she impressed upon me was there are so many different areas of Germany that the food is so different in different spots. So did this author, Louisa Weiss, is it?
Yes.
Did she pick a specific area and focus?
It's very broad, and it takes into account the Hungarian, you know, what was Hungary before. So it's quite broad, but it's a very well-researched book, and she talks about different regional parts, of the culinary traditions. So I think it's a book that you could learn a lot from as well as cook from. And Annette has really brought my attention to having a good cookbook teach you something you didn't know before. And not just how to make something, but for example, as you say, where did this come from? You know, what's the history behind it? What's its tradition? You know, what are the stories that make this recipe something worth talking about as well as eating?
And, you know, I got to say, I know it's Annette, you're all over the color on the not being great. I think that is a classic looking cookbook.
It's a beautiful,
beautiful
cookbook. Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-25, but what do I know? 800-348-2551. Let's go to Phoenicia and see if Phil knows anything. Hello, Phil.
Hello.
Hello, you're on.
Hello.
Hi there, you're on.
Hey there. Oh, great. Awesome. Hey, thanks so much for taking my call.
Okay.
I am doing a bit of terrible self-promotion here. My name is Phil Mansfield. I'm the staff food photographer at the Culinary Institute. And we just had a book come out called Baking and Impact, which is by Chef Genevieve Melly. And what I found really so fascinating, besides the wonderful food, was that it was also about, you know, product, not just the final recipe. How to use alternative ingredients, the recycling, utilizing things that you may not think of. So I just wanted to mention that and see if you all had heard about our book.
What do you think, kids?
I see it around campus, especially featured in the Apple Pie Bakery in Roth Hall.
Ah, okay. Pam, you don't
it's
know about
beautiful
this one?
Beautiful book.
I don't, but it sounds wonderful. I'll definitely check it out.
Phil, thanks a lot. Another one that I don't even know if it came out this year or last year. You know Tamar Adler?
Yeah. Yes.
That book about, you know, using leftovers. I forget the title, but it's just a great, great book.
I think that's an amazing concept.
Like, yeah.
I grew up in a immigrant household.
You use everything you can.
That's it. You don't waste. And there's so many fascinating things you can do with leftovers.
And that's become very trendy now, too, to just not throw things away. People are saving their scraps from their vegetable peelings and making stocks. It's not a weirdo thing anymore. It's like a regular thing to do. I think we have come to, with farm-to-table cooking, this sense that, you know, everything can be used, and it's just a matter of your imagination and conservation.
Yeah. She'll be on in early 2025, too. I don't have my dates in front of me, but she'll be back. Let's go to another favorite here. She's warming up for her appearance next Friday. It's Amy Halloran. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
I was so excited to hear about the joy of cooking. But first off, I started out with a Betty Crocker. I turned in the box tops to get my own copy of the Betty Crocker cookbook. I loved it so much. But now I really, really love the joy of cooking. I love all the editions of it, including the most recent, which was 2019. I want to put a plug in for it because it's got these beautiful paper cuts that a paper cut artist named Anna Branes, she's from Washington State, and she's really creative. And so all the headers of the chapters have these glorious paper cuts, but they go so thoroughly into the recipes. And they added a section on fermentation, fresh for this year. They added a bunch of other stuff, but it's my go-to. I loaned it to my son for a little bit. I was like, where's the joy of cooking? When I want to look something up, you know, that I don't want to have to scroll through online and go through all the ads and get away from that, I want the joy of cooking. And I want to know, we just made quince paste from it. I need it in the house. And not only that, there is a book about the book. There is a biography of it called Stand Facing the Stove, the story of the woman who gave America the joy of cooking. And it's by Anne Mendelsohn, who I'm sure your guests know as a great food historian. I just love this book. It just tells the life of the book and the life of Irma Rumbauer and Marion Rumbauer Becker. And I read that book probably 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think it's part of the stuff that really got me into food writing was just seeing food presented in a super holistic way. So it's an oldie. People could get it from the library, but 96 it came out.
It's an oldie, but it's got a fermented recipe for quince paste. So that's pretty cool.
Yes.
No, those are separate. Sorry.
Okay.
The fermentation chapter is separate. I get excited and I don't use all the commas. In
that's
the
fine.
And,
go ahead.
I think you've got me convinced that I need to take a look at The Joy of Cooking again for sure. But I also am very grateful that you brought up Anne Mendelsohn, who was a mentor of mine. I haven't seen her in a number of years, but Anne was an advisor for my grad school program when I was getting my master's in gastronomy. And then I just adore her writing, and she's one of the most fascinating humans I have ever met.
So Annette and I have an interesting
Go ahead, Pat.
Have an interesting category, which are food books you want to take to bed with you. And Annette was telling me that she's now reading the biography of Judith Jones. And I just finished Ina Garten's memoir. And, you know, there is this whole category, even Joan Nathan's new book now, which has recipes in it, but is also really part memoir and all about the stories of her life growing up. These are wonderful reads.
Yes.
All right, Amy, we have to take a break here. But let me just say that you are, of course, a genius. And quickly, how many cookbooks do you have? Like 900 of them, right? They go back to the 1500s?
There's a lot.
Yeah, I thought so. You and I have talked about this.
Digitally and live. Yeah, we've got, I'll bring in a whole slew in a couple of weeks, Ray.
Well, I think it's next week, Amy.
Or next week.
Yeah,
next better, week.
Yeah, if you leave me high and dry next Friday, I'm going to be very upset.
Dude, I have a present for you.
Oh, well, if it's quince paste, we're all in. I'm not sure what it is, but it sounds good. All right, listen, we got to take a break.
It's a book. It's a book.
Oh, is it done? Is your book done? Oh, Amy, this is fabulous.
No.
No?
But thank you very much. Have a great Christmas.
Yeah.
And what a terrific show. Thanks a lot.
Do the same. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. It's Pam Abrams. It's Annette Tomei. It's me. It's you. It's cookbooks. We'll be back. Me some Duke Robillard there. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Vox Pop. It is a Food Friday. We talk cookbooks today with Annette Tomei and Pam Abrams. What was that you were saying about Bayou?
So Bayou by Melissa Martin made our list. It is an absolutely gorgeous book full of Cajun recipes. The author has a restaurant in South Louisiana called The Mosquito Club, and she wrote a book called The Mosquito Club Cookbook, and it won all kinds of awards. And Bayou is her second book, and we're thrilled that she's coming up to Saratoga in January for the Culinary Arts at SPAC series.
When is that?
It's January 29th, and there are some seats left. Anybody who wants to come taste the food and hear her conversation, which Joe Donahue leads, and then
Donahue?
He does.
Boy, that guy gets around.
I know.
Let me tell you something.
So he's going to interview her. We're going to cook from the book, and she'll do a book signing. And the book is absolutely beautiful about Southern Louisiana.
Cool. Well, just don't do any prices because then we get in trouble. So that's good. And then you held up a book called Code Noir, Annette.
So Code Noir is Afro-Caribbean Stories and Recipes by Leilani Lewis. It is going to be the featured cookbook in the month of February for the Kitchen Arts and Letters Cookbook Club.
Aha.
This book is on my favorite list because it really takes you on a journey. Leilani Lewis tells a beautiful story of the Afro-Caribbean culture, and she also has a full collection of recipes that will make you want to explore the Caribbean islands and explore flavors. And I'm excited to have it as our feature for Black History Month
for February. That is fantastic. You know, I'm just thinking all these books, all these cookbooks by generally people who know so much about food, are they all good writers or is there ghostwriting going on?
I think some of people have ghostwriters. I think it's a combination. I think a good ghostwriter will let the author, the chef's voice come through. And so you won't really have the sense that it is a ghostwriter. I worked with a chef for a while who was in New York. He was so she was a genius in the kitchen. He couldn't write for, you know, for anything.
I'm glad you caught yourself there. I know you.
He just, it just wasn't his thing. I mean, he could do anything in the kitchen and he couldn't write. And yeah. So that's fine. You don't have to do everything in life. So a good, you know, if you have a writer who's going to just make your what's in your head a little clearer to the rest of the world,
yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. This email from Lisa. Favorite new cookbook? America's Test Kitchen Food Gifts. So many fun ideas. Bacon jam. Yum, says Elisa. I love bacon jam.
We love that book.
We love that
you
book.
You do?
Yeah, yes. We both do.
Is that on your list or did it not make the cut?
It didn't make this cut because it was so specific in my mind. But I'll tell you a little secret. At one point not too long ago, I was an America's Test Kitchen
no way!
Host. On board ships for Holland America Line. This was years ago.
How was that?
It was the most amazing experience of my life. So I used to do their shows live at sea, traveling around the world.
Were they broadcast?
They were not broadcast.
Okay,
they were
because that would
the ship
be fun.
Only.
I mean, gosh.
But, oh my goodness, it was
really?
So fun.
And okay.
So I have a soft spot in my heart for all things America's Test Kitchen.
That is cool. All
they
right.
They have a good kids book out now too.
Yeah,
they did an America's Test Kitchen kids book. We both get asked a lot about recommendations for books for teenagers or kids who like to cook. I think that's a really good one. And another one that I like this year that's just out is called Bake Club. And it's by Christina Tosi, who some people know as the woman behind the Milk Bar. She just uses really fun ingredients, like a lot of cereal and fun mix-ins and add-ins. And she's a fun cook, and she also really knows her stuff. And I've been making chocolate sauce and caramel sauce and things like that from that book.
Nice.
It's a good one for kids.
John Fisher writes in from CIA, one of your compatriots over there at the Culinary Institute, Annette. Says, Ray, you would love the Turkey and the Wolf cookbook. It's hilarious. The sandwiches are fantastic. And they're the folks I learned about Duke's Mayo from.
Oh, wow. I've not heard of that one. Okay, that just got on the list.
The Turkey and the Wolf. I mean, if there's sandwiches involved, I'm usually all in. Let's see. Okay, this is a long email from Monell. I'll try to edit on the fly. The Joy of Cooking has been my go-to favorite for over 60 years. I have several editions. Something that may not appear in the 60s editions do now. It covers everything from scrambled eggs to Hungarian. If you only have one cookbook, I definitely recommend this one. Ah, and then Monell says, I also love the old Times Life series. Time Life series of cookbooks from around the world. Recipes are wonderful, very dependable. I remember those.
I do, too.
Oh. When I was working with Kitchen Arts and Letters at the store, that was one of our most requested
old books
for completists who wanted to complete the collections when they were missing things.
Yeah, back in the 70s, my mom, you know, she was a good cook, but I want to say she had a good housekeeping cookbook? I mean,
yes.
I think I saw that lying around. Mm-hmm. No good? Good? She made a good meatloaf, I'll tell you that. Wow, you don't like that one. Okay, I understand. Doreen writes in, my favorite cookbooks are the old ones that local neighborhood churches or schools published on a small scale that contain old recipes from my ancestors, my childhood neighbors, their ancestors. Once in a while, I find them at a yard sale complete with cookie stains on the cookie recipes. Yeah.
There is a whole community in this country of people who are avid collectors of local food collections, local cookbooks, junior league cookbooks, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551. It's Pam Abrams and Annette Tomei, and we talk cookbooks, which is proving to be are you going to do an article next year on this?
Definitely.
All right, so we're going to book it now, and we'll get you back at this time of year next year. Let's go to Saratoga. Kevin's on. Kevin, go ahead. Oh, Karen, I'm sorry. Go.
Oh, hi. This is Karen. I just want to put a plug in for the old Better Homes and Garden cookbook, which was the staples in the 1950s. And my mother always said, you can always trust Better Homes and Garden. And every Christmas, I make their cinnamon rolls and their chocolate sauce, and everyone loves them. That's it.
It's very hard to give up a cookbook that you've had for years and years, no matter how many times you move. you have to take it with you. And I've moved a lot, and there's certain cookbooks that have come with me. So, Karen, I totally understand that feeling of going back to something that has made you proud over the years.
All right, Karen, thanks a lot for the call. Now we go to Saratoga. It's Peter. Peter, go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm calling to put in my plug for favorite cookbook.
Okay.
Number one is definitely is The Joy of Cooking, several generations of books for myself. I taught culinary also, and I cannot go without saying The Professional Chef, even though it's quantity, the information and pictures are outstanding, and it teaches the kids to break down their math to smaller quantities. And finally, Baking with Julia. Even though it's a 20-year-old book, I do enjoy it, and I really picked up a lot from that years ago.
Thoughts?
Thank you.
Love Baking with Julia. I love anything Julia, I'll be honest.
Julia Child?
Julia Child.
She couldn't have put out a book 20 years ago. I thought...
No, it's over 20 years old.
Yeah, it has to be.
It's been
I mean, she's been
for,
dead that yeah. long, right?
Almost.
Something like
scary.
That. Hey, Peter, thanks a lot for that. Happy holidays. Let's go to Judith in Woodstock. Hello, Judith. You're on.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm in Woodstock, and I'm looking at my favorite book, which goes back to the 40s when I was a little girl, and my mother depended on this cookbook, and she was a very good cook. It's called The Mystery Chef Cookbook, and he had a radio program with his wife. I don't remember what day it was, but I was home at the time, and I used to listen to that British couple. They started cooking or became known in the during the World War II, and they came up with all, I think that's not right, World War I. And it's a simple book based on hearty recipes.
I think we lost you there, Judith. Are you still there? Okay, well, we get the point. Thank you for the call, Judith. Any comments?
I don't know that one, and now I'm fascinated.
It's come up on this show in the
past.
My
list is getting longer.
Yeah, the Mystery Chef. Kevin writes in, it would seem that Joy of Cooking violates most of the criteria that you've mentioned. What explains its continuing appeal?
Nostalgia. What you grew up with, what you recognize, probably your age. You don't want to let go of something that's been a standard. And I also think, you know, props to the publishers of that book, because they have been putting out new editions with modern updates to it. So,
yeah.
And it's the recipes are so well tested. That's what, you know, cookbooks often have over recipes off of the internet, which is not all of them are well tested or proofread, or, you know, you can't necessarily trust everything. Some sites you can, you know, the New York Times has really an excellent food site. I would trust the recipes there, but not across the board on the web. And cookbooks tend to be better researched and more thoughtful.
What about the self-published ones?
Hard to say, and that's a mixed bag. I mean, anybody can publish anything.
So the 500,000 books that you mentioned early on, they're not self-published? Those are all published books?
Yes, lots of small publishers. So lots of niche cookbooks, some of which we've heard about today. But, you know, it's a big section of publishing, and it's especially this time of year, you know, people really turn to cookbooks for gifts.
Mm. All right, let's go to Martha in Coleraine. Martha, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to weigh in. You said that you could tell which book people grew up cooking with, whether it was Joy Cooking or what Betty Crocker. But I think you neglected a really big one, which is Fanny Farmer's Boston Cooking School cookbook. I have three that are in various stages of deterioration. And I get loyalty. Anyway, that's all. I just wanted to point out Fanny Farmer.
I think Annette's on your side.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I actually have some historic copies that are crumbling and just ready to disintegrate.
Well. Me as well. I have one from 1903.
It's so funny. My mother had my mother had that cookbook in the kitchen, but I don't recall anybody ever cooking from
it's nice
it.
To have
it was one of those books that we had, and it was a fixture, but I don't recall cooking from it.
Martha, thank you very much for the call. Was Fanny Farmer a person, real person?
Yes, Fanny Farmer was a real person. Fanny Farmer was the Boston Cooking School and introduced the system of measurements that we use now.
Oh, I'll be darned. Let's go to Averill Park and Kevin. Hello, Kevin. How you doing? Happy holidays.
Same to you, Ray. Great show today, Ray and Pam and Annette. I don't know if I was off the air listening for a while, so anybody mention The Art of French Cooking, Julia Child's?
We haven't mentioned it yet, but thank you so much for bringing that one up.
It's my go-to, and the reason I really like it is that it's traditional. It seems like some of the modern ones try to get a little hip and fusion going on, and you want to go back to what the originals were. That was one question. And I want to get a kind of a generic plug in. Anybody that's looking for local cookbooks, you get in touch with Jim Rua from Cafe Capriccio, Rick Orlando. They all have cookbooks out.
Yeah,
some of them
sure
are available
don't.
Online. But nice to support the local guys. And the last thing I have is a question. You mentioned the Kitchen Arts and Letters. Is that affiliated with Arts and Letters and Union Cooper? Or excuse me, Cooper Union?
No, it isn't. It is a small cookbook store, a food and drink, not a cookbook store, books about food and drink on the Upper East Side in Manhattan that is 41 years old. It's one of the originals.
Wow. All right, Kevin. So, go ahead, man. Finish it up.
No, I was just going to say, there's a local fellow up here just bought a restaurant, and he's affiliated with a place called Arts and Letters, and he's also affiliated with Cooper Union, so I thought there was a connection.
Hmm. Apparently not. Hey, man, have a great holiday and good luck over at the shop. We'll see you soon, I hope. Let's go to East Otis, and Mary Ellen, you're on.
Yes, my go-to is Ladies' Home Journal. It was my stepmother's cookbook, and it had everything from soup to nuts and table etiquette. I remember in seventh grade bringing it in and teaching a class on table etiquette from my stepmother's cookbook. So that is my go-to book. It's in a Ziploc bag right now, looking to be rebound somewhere.
Yeah, you know, the magazines, what were called the Seven Sisters magazines, Ladies' Home Journal being one of them, all had wonderful test kitchens. And, you know, even before Gourmet and Bon Appetit and the food magazines really got into it, the Seven Sisters magazines had really good food recipes and food publishing going on. So I'm not surprised that's a favorite of yours.
Mary Ellen, thanks a lot for the call. Lori from Enfield, Connecticut, wants you to repeat the name of the comfort food cookbook we talked about.
It's called Ottolenghi. Yotam Ottolenghi is the
You better spell that
author.
For
it's Ottolenghi. And the book is called Comfort. And you will find it in any bookstore. It has made pretty much everybody's best of lists. Annette and I we had it on ours, but so did many other people. It was fun for us to read what other people liked and what other places liked. And I think somebody wrote a really nice piece about, you know, best cookbooks is very subjective. It's really our favorite cookbooks.
Yeah. Yes, all right, let's go quickly. We only have a couple of minutes here, less than two. We'll go to Renee. No, we're going to go to Matthew in Dutchess County. Matthew, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
I know everybody says they have their two schools of thought, Joy of Cooking or the Better Homes Cookbook. There's a third one people forget. I think I'm a Mark Bittman guy. How to Cook Everything is my go-to.
I love that book.
Mark Bittman.
I think it's a fantastic book as well. That's the book I gave my son when he got his first apartment and started really cooking for himself. I do kind of think of it as the modern Joy of Cooking. It's not that new anymore, but it's newer and a little bit more modern. And I've been a big Bittman fan for a long time. He's got a kids cookbook version of that too. It's Kids Cook Everything that's just out this year, which is cool.
Oh, that's a good gift.
Yeah, I think so as well. So thanks for bringing that up.
Appreciate it. Very quickly, let's go to Renee in Greenville. Renee, you have about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
I have a cookbook I picked up at probably a yard sale or something from 1866, Dr. Chase's Recipes, practical recipes, about 800, information for everybody.
Wow.
And it's got a
medical department in here for how to use alcohol for medicinally, and everything is really entertaining.
Wow. Well, I'd be a doctor then if that was the case. But Renee, thanks a lot for the call. We're going to be wrapping it up here. Pam Abrams, how do people find out more about the Cookbook Club first and then the Culinary Arts at SPAC?
FranklinSquareMarket.com will list all of our cookbook club. We do them about once a month. The next one is on January 19th. We're going to be featuring a book called Bright Cooking, and it's plant-based, flavor-packed meals, main dishes that are meatless but very tasty.
Cool.
And we're excited for that.
Annette, how do people find out about the cookbook club that you lead online?
So the Kitchen Arts and Letters Cookbook Club is a membership group. We have a page on www.kitchenartsandletters.com, and we have annual, monthly, and seasonal memberships available.
You know what? This was fun. So, whether you do an article in the Times Union next year or not, let's get you back here toward the end of the year, maybe a little earlier so people have time to shop.
I would love that.
Thank you.
Support comes from Honest Wheat Food Co-op in Albany. Local, organic, and sustainable groceries for all. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Home delivery available online at honestwheat.coop for information. And Saratoga Restaurant Equipment Sales, 27 years supplying restaurants and commercial kitchen facilities, also offering project design, installation, and repair services, saratogasales.com. Thanks again to Pam Abrams and Annette Tomei for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phone screened by Barb King. I'm Ray Graff. Have a safe weekend. Have a safe commute home. It's a little slippery out there. We'll join you on Monday at 2 for an exciting discussion about gynecologic surgery. We'll see you then.